You're listening to the Utah Man Podcast, bringing you the latest news and analysis for your Utah Utes. Now, your hosts, Cameron, Ryan, and Scott.
Welcome on into the Utah Man Podcast. On this episode, we discuss the tragedy that's been hitting the University of Utah over the past week, and look back at the Utah-Washington State game, and as well as the rivalry game with USC. I'm Cameron, and we got Ryan.
What's up, Ute Nation?
And Scott.
What is up?
Scott's
Aloha, Scott.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're looking pretty tan there.
A little bronzed.
How was Hawaii?
I should have stayed there, is what I should have done.
Oh, we should have made you stay there.
Oh, it's good to be back and see both of you, you lovely gentlemen.
Oh, he called us lovely.
All right, let's, so it's been over a week. We didn't record during the bye week. We had plans to, and then with the tragedy with Aaron and really what was going on in our personal lives, we kind of put a pause on the show, but we're back. So we haven't had a chance to kind of talk about the Aaron Lowe situation. And honestly, just another punch to the gut to this program. And it's such a senseless act of violence that from all reports, it was Aaron had nothing to do with what was going on. And just for him and the young lady that's still fighting for her life, it's tragic. And your heart just goes out to Aaron's family and this team and what they're going through. And you notice with Kyle in his Monday presser, it's hitting Kyle. You don't really see a lot of emotion out of him, and you could tell he was emotional.
Yeah, it's borderline unprecedented what this program has had to go through in the last year with two deaths and now one that they've got to do during the season. I mean, you still have three quarters of your season left while you still are mourning for Ty Jordan. I mean, it's just unbelievable what these guys are having to go through. And there's no doubt about it. Kyle's in a low place. He looks drained. He looks just fatigued. He's kind of the father figure for these kids. And that's a responsibility that he takes very seriously. You can tell. And to have that happen at no fault of his own, You would feel that responsibility squarely on your shoulders if you were in his situation. And so I can completely understand why he is feeling and the emotions that he must be feeling after going through this once again 9 months after Ty.
Well, and he talked about how he feels that it's his own kids, the ones in the program, right? And he has that burden, and I think this coaching staff has that burden, because as they're recruiting, as they're meeting with these young kids and their parents, these parents are entrusting this coaching staff to look after their sons and to keep them safe and get them from, their later teenage years into adulthood. And so I think you could totally tell with Kyle, just the devastation with it. Kyle looks different. I mean, obviously he got the haircut, looking good. But you could just his emotions. I think I've never seen Kyle like that before.
I think all of us have commented it throughout the season. He just hasn't looked right all season long, and I think the Ty Jordan thing clearly has weighed on him throughout the off season and coming into this season. And like what you guys have already said, it's just unimaginable how this compounds what he's already feeling and going through. Not just him, it's the entire team. I think we've probably seen that to a certain extent in what we've seen in the play so far this year.
Well, and yet you add on the high expectations that this team had going into the season and what was expected from them and ultimately what they could accomplish. And that weighs on top of him of just far as they're just not producing. They just haven't been very effective. So you add all of this together. It's a recipe for disaster, for these guys, these coaches to have to really work their way through this individually. And then still, you know, as they go through this, they've still got to watch film. They still got to get these guys ready to play. They got to motivate these guys. I mean, that's just something that's really hard for any human being to have to go through, you know, when they just don't have that time to mourn like they did with Ty in the off season. They had off season to kind of be away. Now, yeah, you could look at it as a positive that they're together, because they can bring strength together, right? One to another. And as they kind of each mourn in their different ways and help each other through this. So there could be some positives to it, but man, just what lies ahead for this team. It's tough. It's tough to see, really, from what we've seen so far through four games, and a very tough October lying ahead with USC, UCLA, Arizona State, and now a surging Oregon State. I don't know. It could be a rough month. Could be a real rough month.
Well, I think even before the tragedy, it was going to be a rough, right? And right, well, we've seen Utah so far this season. And Scott, when you were talking about with Ty Jordan, they had the off season. You know, I was actually thinking about that today during the presser with Kyle Winningham. Is this is different because they are together, and maybe it can help having the distraction of football to kind of help them through this, you know, grieving period right now. I think everyone grieves in their own way, but hopefully because they're together, because they do have a distraction of football, it can kind of bring this team closer together. And hopefully they can get something positive out of such a horrific event. You know, before we kind of move on from this, I want to get something off my chest. There's local media out there that have used this tragedy as a way to hurt Utah in recruiting. It's Bush League. You do not use this to try to spin it to help the team down south in recruiting. Are you joking me?
Hey, Cam, I need names. Who are you referring to?
I'm not going to drop names. I'm not going to drop the station.
But okay, honestly, it's a station. We know it's only a station.
But honestly, let...
Does it rhyme with Hell of Haiti?
You don't... Don't use this tragedy...
Hot or cold,
...as
Cam.
A way to bring down a university.
Am I hot or cold?
You're warm.
Okay.
All right, I got
that.
Is it
the morning show? Is it the afternoon show, or the
or the midday,
or the what do they call it?
Let's say maybe you're eating lunch. You may have heard that this could really hurt recruiting, and it's Bush League. It really is. Do better.
It is Bush League because it's a tragedy that nobody on that staff could have prevented. It's nothing that
or any player could have prevented.
Okay. And I just for the record, I'm not disagreeing with either of you one iota on this. Let me play devil's advocate for a minute.
Go ahead.
Will it happen or will it not?
Will it affect recruiting?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think we've already seen that in the last couple of days. I think it will. Should it? No.
This is a dirty game. I mean, these coaches are cutthroat. They're going to do anything to recruit, to sway a kid off a commitment. Because guess what? It's proven. You see it year after year. And this is, I mean, there's already dirty stuff that's used against the University of Utah currently within the Pac-12. And now you add this to it, it will be used.
It will be used, and what they'll do is they'll pull the heartstrings of the parents. You don't want to send your kid there. Look what happens.
Yeah, and it's something that this program it's going to take a while, I think, to pull out of this. I don't think there's a quick fix. I don't think Cam Rising coming out and getting on a hot streak is going to solve our problems, because this is something that will be used 10 years from now, right? And these coaches, these players, they're in a tough spot. I mean, for them just to climb out of whatever they're dealing with at this point, it's going to take some time. I mean, it could take a full cycle of getting new players, maybe even new coaches into the program. And you know, I'm hopeful that's not the case, obviously, mm-hmm. that, you know, that these guys can find some joy in football again, and it can bring them together, and this program can really rally. But it's been a while since we've seen this program struggling like this, struggling on the field and now off the field. That's rough. I just don't know there's a quick fix.
There's probably not a quick fix, but you know, leading to your comment about change in coaching staff. I mean, I think that's entirely possible if it's not across the board. I think we're seeing the end of the Kyle Whittingham era within the next few years anyway.
And there's rumors that it could potentially be after this season.
Mm-hmm.
Again, those are just rumors. We don't know anything. You know, Kyle may be the only one that knows, and he may not even know. You know, we'll have to see. Maybe as the season ends, you know, we'll see how he's feeling and where he's at. But if
what it appears from the outsiders that he, and this may be completely wrong, but what it looks like is he's lost that fire. And if that fire's gone, he may be done at the end of this year.
And you know what? If he has lost the fire, it's completely understandable. With what he's gone through in the last 9 months, I could completely understand and not fault him one bit for saying, hey, that fire to just give everything I have to win a Pac-12 title, it's not worth it anymore. His perspective has probably changed through all of this. He's probably going, hey, I want to spend time with my grandkids. I want to spend time with my kids. And I wouldn't fault him one bit for that.
No.
And, you know, if that's what he decides to do, I mean, he still leaves this program as really Utah man, a Utah man.
Sure.
I mean, he is Utah football. And,
but if he leaves, there could be some wholesale changes.
If he leaves, I'm really nervous. I would be really nervous because I don't want our current AD making the next hire.
100% agree on that one. 100%.
I'm really nervous about that. And say what you want. There's people out there that I've had some other conversations. Well, he did pretty good with the basketball hire.
That hasn't been proven. We don't know anything.
We don't know that. It appears like it could be a pretty good basketball hire. I still don't want him touching football. I don't trust him. That's a podcast for a different day.
I don't trust him either. But
there's too much smoke coming out of the athletic department for me to put any faith. And that hire.
Let's just say, I think if something were to have to happen this offseason, the new school president, President Randall, will be heavily involved. That's what I would suggest.
Let's put on that. All right. You know, let's jump into this Washington State game. We're up against a break. When we come back, we'll be recapping Utah and the Washington State Cougars.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, so I know we said we were going to jump into this Washington State-Utah game. While we're on break, the conversation around if a hire needs to be made in the next couple years kept going. So I'm throwing the show notes out the door. We'll go off script.
There were notes? What?
Of course, Ryan wouldn't know if there's notes. Shocker.
Thanks for passing them along, Cam.
Oh, some things never change.
Oh, all right, let's hash this out.
So, Scott, before the break, you said you don't feel comfortable with Harlan making the next hire for football coach. So my question is, I guess why? Because he's obviously not going to do anything to sabotage the program. He wants to make himself look good for the next big gig he wants.
Sure. No doubt about it. I mean, obviously, he's going to do his best to make the hire, but he's got nothing in his track record to give anybody any sort of confidence on the next football hire, for starters. And second of all, I think being good and consistently good at Utah is extremely difficult. What Kyle Whittingham has done is borderline phenomenal. I mean, you look at programs around the country. I mean, look at Florida State. They're an absolute mess, and they have been an absolute mess forever. Mm-hmm. Look at our rivals, Colorado. And they won a national championship in the 90s, and they can't even get out of bed right. You look at Texas. You look at there's programs after programs that when they fall into mediocrity, for whatever reason, can't get out of it. And they'll go through 3, 4, 5 coaches before they find success again. I mean, Colorado had one good season and they're right back into just awful football. And I mean, we can look at something really close to home as a perfect example of this, and that's Utah basketball. Under Majerus, we were the kings out west along with what, UCLA, Arizona, and Utah basketball, right? Mm-hmm. Majerus leaves. Sure, we've had a few good runs. Boylan got us to the tournament. Larry got us to the tournament. Nothing sustained. Giacoletti got us to the tournament. Nothing was able to be sustained by any of those coaches. And, you know, it's just difficult in today's game to year after year put together a consistent and good football team. Obviously, you're going to have some years that are better than others, and you're going to have some that fall a little bit below. That's without question. You're even seeing that with Kyle. But I just think if you don't get that next hire right, we could go to a really low level, like Oregon State winless seasons level in the Pac-12. If you don't recruit right, if you don't understand the culture around Utah and even some how missionaries work and how that affects your program.
I don't think Harlan's been here long enough to understand the culture.
So there's well, and then depending on who you hire, what type of culture do they build?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What the culture Kyle has built works, and it works here. It may not work everywhere, but it works here. Right? So if you promote somebody like a Morgan Scali, guess what? You're probably going to be able to keep that culture moving forward, right? And then Morgan is going to be able to pick and choose a little bit as far as, hey, I didn't really like how Kyle did this. This is going to be my flair.
See, and that's what I was thinking. If you go with a Morgan, he already knows what's like established, and he can build upon that.
Right.
Whereas if you go outside, you're rebuilding from the ground up.
Exactly.
Unless you find an Urban Meyer. Like,
How many Urban Meyers
are out there?
I mean, there's not even Urban Meyers happening year over year in college football, let alone one program finding them consistently.
Well, and then if you look at the coaches who they think have been like an Urban Meyer, when they do take that next step, they're not panning out exactly. I mean, look at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no doubt about it, and obviously, you know, the thing I would love to see Morgan get that opportunity because I think he can take the good of Witt. He can keep it in place and he can also see where he faltered, right? And put his own spin on it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Like what Whittingham's done here at Utah is borderline amazing, but offensively, we've been kind of a disaster outside of a few years here and there.
I mean, most of his tenure on the offensive side of the ball has been
brutal. We've been good in spite of our offense most years.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas You know, it's going to take a coach to be aggressive offensively and say, hey, we got to open it up. We got to pass the ball. We got to be aggressive offensively and make the right hire to allow somebody to do that. And then obviously allow that hire to do it. And I think that's something in today's college football that has to happen. And I think with somebody like Morgan, you're going to get that opportunity. Is Morgan going to get that opportunity? I don't know. That's going to be up to probably Harlan and the president. But let's just say I'm a little worried about what the future could hold if Whit walks away.
Oh, for sure. And I think the three of us, and I know there's a number of people out there that want Morgan to be the next guy. But, I mean, take it for what it's worth. Twitter isn't the entire fan base, but there's a number of fans that want to go a different direction. Say Scally is not the guy.
Yeah. Well, you're never going to find probably anybody who there's a consensus on across the board.
No, I mean, there's people who want Whit gone.
Yeah. And that's fine. I mean, ultimately, the idea of, you know, what happened about a year ago with Morgan and that incident that took place that really was 7-8 years old at the time, that should not keep him from becoming the head coach. And if you think it is, let's talk about it, because I think you're nuts.
Does that answer questions about where we sit if there needs to be higher?
I think it answers where we sit. And
I know our opinions matter.
And we are pretty important.
President Randall is an avid listener of the podcast, so...
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I promise we will get into the Utah-Washington State game.
No, he won't.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, so Utah beats Washington State 24-13. Man, just an ugly game all around. I will give Utah credit. It seems like they made some strides offensively. We did see a lot of things that we've been harping on. So we finally saw things like the pre-snap movement, something we've been harping on, and we got to see Jackson in kind of the wildcat, if you want to call it that, as the quarterback position, even though there was that fumble. Those were things we were harping on. I thought the offensive line played better than they have in the past.
They weren't quite as offensive.
I still think this team needs to go more vertical offensively. That when they went vertical against Washington State, they were having success. And Cam Rising gets his first game under his belt, complete game under his belt. But I think he still needs a lot of growth.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Cameron and Scott was in Hawaii, obviously, so he wasn't there to discuss any of this during the game. But I think Cameron and I...
You guys solved all the problems during the game?
we talked about... We were
texting Ludwig.
We talked about how there was I don't remember at what point of the game, but like we both commented, like they have not attempted to stretch the field at all.
Yeah, it was that first drive. They tried stretching it, and then they didn't try stretching again until fourth quarter. Yeah. Everything was like lateral, nothing past 5 yards.
And I really liked the bringing Jackson in. I thought that was something that I think needed to happen a game or two ago, but that opened some things up. And dude, you could tell he's an athlete. And the whole key to that game was fumbles.
Oh, everyone was putting the ball on the ground. I mean, Covey had one that went out of bounds. We saw Bernard had one that led to the touchdown for Washington State. Your boy Thomas, granted it was after the play.
I'm going to stay with him.
He's continuing to have those
one
issues.
One carry, one fumble.
I'm going to put Velcro on his arms.
There was a snap, right? The bobble snap towards in the red zone.
Well,
so a lot of issues that they need to start cleaning up.
I was flying home from Hawaii while this game was going on. Cam was doing his best to keep me updated via text because, you know, 400 miles an hour. Try watching over the Pacific Ocean, the Pac-12 network. Yeah, that's not going to work out. So, and all I kept getting was, oh, another fumble. Oh, another fumble. I couldn't believe what was going on. When I got home, I rewatched the game. Yikes. I just don't know where this team goes. And then you factor in this team was struggling being effective on the field and executing plays. And now they're dealing with the death of a teammate. I have no idea what we're going to see on Saturday.
At USC. I mean, it could get ugly fast.
I think that helps, though. Getting them on the road out of their normal environment here in Salt Lake, that might help.
No, it could. And there's a part of me, I could see these guys coming out with just, you know, something to prove, really, and just putting on a really good performance. And I could see something that just does not go very well at all.
Well, you get one mistake and then they just fold, you know. And I'm not saying that's how it's going to go, but you could see it happening based on what they've gone through.
I mean, obviously we need to be sensitive of what these guys are dealing with, and there is a lot more to football. But I think we will see to an extent as far as just the leadership of this team. And where these guys are at emotionally, and really what they were able to do in preparation for this game. I just I don't know that any of us have an answer. They may not have an answer at this point, and it's going to be really interesting to see. But obviously, as you guys have mentioned, there's a reason that Utah is in this situation that they are. Is Washington State is the only game this year that they've won the turnover battle. Mm-hmm. That's not something you expect from a Utah football team. They protect the ball and they force turnovers. Neither is really happening this year. You look at third down conversions. Let's play a game real quick. Give me your best guess for the third down conversion percentage.
I think they're hovering, it's like 30%. Around like 32%.
Yeah, and if you include fourth downs, so they're 14 for 46 on third downs through four games.
Those
fourth downs, they're 1 of 6. So overall, I mean, you really could put fourth and third down and fourth down together. They're 15 for 52 on third down. So I know we talk a lot about we got to play faster, bring a bigger, a faster pace to the game, which I agree that could help. But the biggest problem with this offense is they can't stay on the field. They're never on the field because they're 15 of 52 on third down conversion.
But I think that up tempo helps that because we saw.
It helps them pump faster.
No. We saw they didn't do it a lot, but they did use it from time to time in the Washington State game and were effective when they used it. The problem is they would get a big chunk of yards on first down, quickly go on second down, pick up the first down, and then it's like, we got the first down. Let's go back to the 30-second huddle. And it would just stop. Like just keep going. It's working. Why do you go away from it?
We got to sub out those wide receivers. They're tired after all those catches.
I do think we saw some improvement for what it's worth in the course of that game.
I think we did.
You have to take it with a grain of salt because it was Washington State. But I'm going to talk on just on the defensive side of the ball for a second. From what we've seen in the first three games leading up to that, the defense was not, and we've talked about this, was not Utah defense. The first half of that game, they didn't allow points, but they gave up yards and couldn't get off the field themselves. In the second half, it was completely reversed. It was like, finally, something clicked. They were getting off the field on third down. They were getting pressure on the quarterback. They were getting turnovers. And that was something we hadn't seen in the first three games.
I honestly think that was the best performance by the D-line this year. Hands down. I think the defense played phenomenal. Reed came out of nowhere. He had a pick. He had a sack. I mean, he was in on everything. For a kid getting his first start and really his first reps of Division One, hats off. He played great. Van Fillinger had two sacks, I think, his first sacks of the season. So I think overall the defense really, I think it's that Utah defense we've been wanting to see all year.
And you know what? A lot of changes in personnel.
Even at late in the game, I mean, both safeties were injured and we had two freshmen back there.
Which I think is great. Which tells you the coaches are searching, right? Mm-hmm. They're not just saying, okay, well, you're an upperclassman. We're just going to keep practicing and find a way to get better. No, they're saying, okay, best players are going to play. And they're going to go find. I mean, you look at the defensive tackle position where they bring in Tafuna and he's taken over for Haute Pututau, who's a senior, right? So that's encouraging to see. And, you know, obviously I think that's going to continue to happen. These coaches are going to find the best players, the guys who are ready to play and can produce on game days. But no, I mean, in watching that game, obviously, like I wasn't there live and didn't see the game live, but you could see there was more pressure in the backfield. There was a lot more just energy defensively, overall, which, you know, hopefully that's a catalyst for this team moving forward. Give these guys some confidence to keep out going out there and make some plays. What you're going to find, though, is some of these young guys are going to have those high moments, and it's not necessarily going to be super consistent yet because are so young and inexperienced. They're going to have some high highs, but you could see some inconsistent lows intermixed into that.
They're going to be tested immediately with the passing game, USC.
Yeah. Well, and this isn't a typical bye week, right? We can say, oh man, they've had 2 weeks to prepare for USC. I guarantee you they haven't been preparing for 2 weeks because of what they've been dealing with off the field. And so, yeah, a lot of unknowns, but at this point, you know, at this point of the season, where Utah stands, and I think if we're all being realistic with one another, unless a switch is turned that none of us expect or even think is possible, Utah's out of the South race, even though they are at 1-0 in conference play so far.
I might have to disagree.
You
with
disagree?
That. I disagree with
and,
that.
And I'll but, also no,
okay. We got to go to a break.
Oh my God!
We're up against it. I want to
read
continue
your notes.
This. I want to continue
break
this
time.
Discussion. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. So, Scott, you say Utah's chances for the South race are done. You're ready to put them back out to pasture.
No.
I think they're still in it. And I have my reasons. I'll allow you to make a fool of yourself before I correct you.
Well, let me take your notes because you're pretty good at that. Well, and obviously, you know, I'm jumping the gun because they do sit at 1-0 in conference play so far. But... and anything's possible in the Pac-12. We are readily aware of that. Anything can happen. But I just think this October is going to be so brutal for Utah. I think by the end of the month we're going to be done. This is a rough go with a team that's rolling and healthy. This would be a rough go. But with a team that's struggling emotionally, being able to execute at a high level against four quality opponents week after week after week.
I think 2-2 is a win.
I think it's gonna be a tough task. And I mean, Arizona State, granted, by no means do I think Arizona State's going to run the table and have this secured, you know, with weeks to go. They're going to have a slip up, and obviously Utah's going to have the opportunity to give them one of those slip ups, which I think is going to be absolutely pivotal. Utah has to win that game in order for them to win the South. I honestly think, who would have said this before the season? But if you're going to lose to anybody this month, it's going to be USC. That's the only loss you could probably afford. You can't afford to lose to UCLA because they're going to be there at the end of this thing. USC is almost out of it already, and Arizona State. So you could afford probably a loss to USC, but then you got to beat UCLA and you have to beat Arizona State and have that tiebreaker over both of those guys in order for Utah to win this. I just think it's a tall task based off of what we've seen through 4 weeks of the season.
Yes, I definitely agree. Utah's on a very uphill battle, right? I think we can all agree that Utah is at, they're not meeting the expectations preseason. So I'm not going to sit here and say they are the favorites to win the South. No, by no means are they the favorite, but I don't think it's out of the question because the Pac-12 is just beating up on each other this season. USC already has two losses in conference. You look at Arizona State. Yes, they haven't lost a game yet. They're against Stanford this week. Stanford is playing phenomenal. I think better than what everyone was expecting. They just knock off Oregon.
Can you imagine that, though? No. Okay, just commenting on Stanford, though, real quick. They looked abysmal in game one. And then they've rattled off these wins.
Yeah, well, we will get into that in our Pac-12 review. But the trees, fear the tree right now. So Arizona State still has ASU, Washington, Oregon State. So yes, Utah has a tough road. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but every other team has just as hard of a road. And Utah has the benefit right now of teams like USC already have two losses in conference. I fully expect USC to drop another game.
No, yeah, I obviously, if Oregon was really the lone shot of making the college football playoff this year from the Pac-12, that's probably out the window unless they go on a heater the rest of the year. So if Oregon can lose to, sure, maybe a surging Stanford team, anybody in this conference is capable of losing or beating anybody any given week. And that's the problem with this conference. Is Kyle Whittingham said it. Their consistency is what brings the conference inconsistency.
Mm-hmm.
Is because, I mean, Vanderbilt's not going out and upsetting anybody in the SEC. Up to this year, Arkansas wasn't doing that to anybody, right? Whereas the Pac-12 is good, just not great.
Now, Scott, I totally agree what you're saying. Like, yes, the Pac-12 just kind of beats each other up, and it kind of, you know, I think that's what kind of drives the narrative on the national spotlight. But for what we're talking about here, I do think Utah still has a chance, a very far chance, but I still think they have a chance at making a run at that the Pac-12 just because we know how crazy this conference can get. All right, so Utah takes on USC in Southern California. I'm jealous. Ryan, you're headed to the game.
Yeah.
You and your boy are headed down. Just before we get in the game, there are COVID restrictions, right?
There are COVID restrictions. It is LA. It is Southern California.
So if fans are going to the game, do you know what they should be expecting?
Yes, you need to have a valid vaccine with you, a vaccine card, valid vaccine card with you, with your photo ID, I believe, and you will need to have a negative COVID test within 72 hours of kickoff.
And you are required to cast a vote for Newsom upon arrival.
All right, so Utah and USC, as I said, are kicking off this Saturday. Utah, as everyone knows, hasn't won in California against USC in like 100 years.
This is the year, baby.
I actually was feeling pretty good. I know preseason I picked that this is a game Utah could lose. I've been feeling really good about this game until I saw it's being broadcast on Fox. And I swear, Utah is cursed on Fox against USC.
I don't think it has anything to do with who's broadcasting the game. It has to do with where the game's being played. If it's in LA, we lose. If it's in Utah, pretty good chance we win. That's how you could really sum up the Utah-USC rivalry since we joined.
So USC coming into this game 3-2 on the year. They did fire their head coach, Clay Helton, really up and down with them. So they beat San Diego State, lose to Stanford, beat Washington State, lose to Oregon State. And then, you know, I thought Whittingham actually gave a pretty good breakdown against their game with Colorado. USC went very basic, kind of went, I guess, like back to foundation, just back to what they do best. And they dominate Colorado 37-14.
If they're on the every other game plan, it's in a. This might be our game.
I like our chances if none of their quarterbacks are available. And I'm including even their third stringers. We've seen how that works.
It'll be our luck that Dart will be miraculously healed from his meniscus tear. And
well, even Slovis looked pretty good last week. I mean, Slovis, I know it was Colorado, but nonetheless.
Slovis didn't look so good the week before, though.
No, it's going to be a test for our corners. And
that Lendon kid, sorry, I'm going to cut you off, but their wide receiver, Lendon, probably the best wide receiver in the country.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be probably a top five pick this year.
For sure.
Not only does he have size, but he's just got playmaking ability, wingspan, speed. Yeah, he's the real deal. And he's going to be a nightmare for Clark Phillips, for whoever ends up getting...
Well, if Phillips is on him, they'll just use the height.
I mean, it's a good 6-inch difference between the two. So it's going to be a tall task. And... It's gonna be up to the secondary because they don't run the ball all that well. They're more of a pass, you know, a passing raid team where they're gonna throw the ball all over the field. We've seen that, so it's really gonna come down to which, in some ways, our secondary has played better than you know, our rush defense. But it's
get some pressure.
But it's
gonna
be a tough task, and if Utah has any chance of winning this game, they've got to put points up on the board. You're not going to hold this USC team to 14 points. They're going to score in the high 20s, if not 30s. Utah's probably going to have to score, I think, minimum high 30s if they want to win this game.
I think that's a tall order to ask from this team. I don't know if they...
30. I mean, that's awful when a tall task of 30-some-odd points is... too tall?
So far, they have not been able to prove that they can consistently move the ball. They have not shown that they've been able to consistently put points up on the board this game yet.
I'm aware.
Yet.
I'm very aware.
I agree with Cameron. 30 points per game is a tall order because they're only averaging 28. And through four games, they're only averaging 28 against three... opponents.
You got to throw that
two
Weber,
of which they lost.
You got to throw the Weber game out of there. That kind of pads their stats.
So, yeah, in years past, 30. You say they can't score 30 points. You'd be like, oh, we're in trouble. But when you're only averaging 28 against three out of conference schools, this could be ugly.
Well, and look where scores are coming from. There was a pick six against Washington State last week. So 7 of the 24 was on defense. The game before that, 7 came off of a punt return for Covey.
The entire first half points. I mean, yeah, there's just, I don't even know where to go, to be honest. This team just does not have anything offensively going their way. And it's just, it's hard for me to believe, as much as I wanted to, that against USC on the road in a place where we've proven we can't win, that you're going to put it together.
No, it's going to be tough, because even delving more into these stats, passing yards per attempt, passing yards per completion, and passing yards per game, Utah ranks 11th out of 12.
Hey, we're not last.
But then, this has been Utah's bread and butter for years. The rushing attack, rushing first downs, 11th place. Rushing touchdowns, 10th. Rushing attempts, last place.
Because they're not on the field.
Rushing attempts.
It all goes back to what we were harping on from the get-go, is that this offensive unit cannot stay on the field.
Time of possession, we're getting beat game in and game out. Turnovers, we've only won the battle one game out of four. And you go back to third down conversion percentage. It's awful. Under 30%. Can't stay on the field. So if you're on the sideline, you can't be good. You can't do anything. Kyle Whittingham would love to just drain clock off on every drive and march down the field running the ball. You can't do it from the sideline. So until this team can sustain a drive and do that consistently throughout a game, they're going to struggle. And they really just, they haven't shown, I mean, there's really nothing through four games that would give anybody any hope that they'll be able to pull it through.
To solidify your point that he wants to milk the clock typically and put the game in hand, time of possession per game, 26 minutes and 54 seconds, which ranks 12th out of 12 teams.
It definitely doesn't paint a pretty picture when you put the numbers out there like that, Ryan, but hopefully Utah can, you know, turn that switch and come together, build on that win from Washington State. Despite the fumbles, there was progress, and hopefully they can overcome them and, you know, sneak out a win in Southern California. We're up against a break. When we come back, let's hit in some Pac-12. All right, another crazy weekend in the Pac-12. As we mentioned, Oregon falling to Stanford in overtime, 31-24. Not good for the conference. That, I think that takes them out of the discussions for the playoffs for the rest of the season. I don't care what Oregon does. I don't think the Pac-12 has that much respect nationally to get back in it.
The Pac-12 has to have somebody take advantage of the opportunity. Oregon just continues under Cristobal to show that they can't. He recruits like a madman, and he coaches like McBride. It just, it doesn't work. Oregon is what they are. They're good most of the time. They're just not elite.
And then probably the team that's the hottest right now, Oregon State beats Washington 27-24. Do you guys think Oregon State's for real?
I don't know.
I'm on their bandwagon.
I'm kind of pulling for them, but I don't know how good they are, because clearly Washington isn't good, and Washington stormed back and had the lead in that game and then gave it away. So I really don't know how good Oregon State is.
No, but they're also not a finished product, right? Year over year, they just continue to get better and better and better. And I think you're going to see that throughout the course of the rest of the season. They're going to continue to build on what they're doing. And I love their coach, and I've really liked him for a while, because early on in his tenure there, you saw the building blocks of them continually getting better. So I would love for them to spoil everybody's parade in the North, and I'd love to see them take a run at and win the North. I think it'd be sweet.
They definitely hit a home run with the hire. I'm sure Washington wishes that they would have been able to hold on to their OC and not let him go down to Oregon State, because, oh, Jimmy Lake, we keep saying it. I think he's in trouble.
He's going to be in trouble.
They've looked awful. They've been on a nosedive since Peterson left.
Looking ahead to games this week, I think the one kind of stands out, other than Utah-USC, I think that's got to be the marquee game of the week. But Stanford and ASU, know, Arizona State coming off their win against UCLA, Stanford coming off their win against Oregon. That's going to be, I think, a very good game. And I don't know. I think Stanford's got it. I can see Stanford beating Arizona State.
Well, it depends. Do you get the Arizona State at BYU where they were penalized 16 times and turned the ball over like, was it 5 times? Or are you going to get the Arizona State that actually plays a clean game and then is able to dominate a UCLA? Because they looked really good in that game. And UCLA has looked pretty good so far this year. So I think it'll be a good game. I don't know where I'm going on that one quite yet, but I think it'll be a good one.
I want to see the upset for sure, but I think Arizona State has too many weapons.
All right, let's kind of get into our picks for the Utah-USC game. So right now as we sit, USC is a 3-point favorite over Utah. I'm very surprised, actually. I was thinking the line would be a lot more for USC, but just a 3-point spread right now. Ryan, we'll kick it over to you. You're going to be there. What are you expecting and what's your score?
Definitely excited to be there. First time ever in the Coliseum. Obviously hoping in the beginning of the year that this was going to be the game that Utah finally gets the win down there in a long, long time. And, you know, I think it's still possible. I think it just depends on the mentality of the team when they take the field this weekend. But I'm still not going to pick against my Utes, even though I think it's going to be a really tough battle to win. I'm going to go Utes 27, Trojans 24.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. We're holding the Trojans to 24?
The D's back, baby.
Which D?
Scott, where are you going?
Oh, man, that's pretty optimistic. Man, I love my Utes, and I'm trying to be realistic on this one. So I'm going to go 34-24 USC.
All right, I'm kind of thinking the same lines as you, Scott. I think USC gets this win, unfortunately. I have USC 30, Utah 21. Ryan, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Drum and Feather. That's Drum, the letter N, Feather.
And Scott?
You find me at UteMan_forever.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at UtahManPodcast, at our home, UtahManPodcast.com. You can always listen to us anywhere you listen to a podcast. We are there. And hopefully, Scott and I are wrong, and Utah gets that win against the Trojans.
We're cheering for you, baby. Utes. We got you. We got your back.
Go Utes.
Go Utes.
Go Utes. We'll be till I die, Kai.
We're good. Let's cut it.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are their own and are no way affiliated with the University of Utah.
No, but the Conference of Parody. That sounds really bad.
You should have worked in the Utah Athletics years ago. Don't make us come get you.
I'm taking that out.
We're not the Conference of Champions. We're the Conference of Parody.
We're not great, but we're all pretty darn good.